Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
How y'all doing tonight? Man, we in church on a Thursday night in the snow. Somebody say, God better speak tonight. Can somebody say, he better say something to me? Before I get started, I want to give honor to not only God, but to my father and to my mother, Bishop Stephen, Dr. Howe. You know, I'm a PK, but, you know, I'm just honored to step in their anointing and step in their influence and just, you know, be invited to come share something with you all that I believe will be life changing. I know preachers say that all the time, but I was so excited in the car. I was almost crashed. I'm listening to worship and I'm going over the sermon. And I've learned that if the sermon doesn't impact you first as a preacher, then it's probably not going to do much damage when you get to talking. Can somebody say amen? Who has never heard me minister the word of God? Oh, man, it's about 70% in here. Okay, cool. So, obviously, we're brothers in Christ, but I come from another side. I didn't know if you noticed that, but we all love God, but you know, I've just been in the sun a little longer than some people. I'm what you call a holler back preacher. All right. My famous saying is when I speak, you speak, and then y'all supposed to say just like that. I'm gonna give y'all a little soul this evening. Y'all ready? Okay, so I'm going to say, when I speak, you speak, and y'all say just like that. All right, y'all ready? All right, now, this ain't calculus. When I speak, you speak. That means that if something is said that registers with your spirit, don't act like you're at a funeral. You understand? Like you have permission to throw a shoe. Just don't hit the head. I got to get married in the 2 months and I need all this to be right. You could throw a piece of paper. You can shout. You can jump. Whatever you feel like doing, just make sure we keep it in the context of, you know, making sure you don't knock your neighbor out. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen? Listen, I love to have fun. I love to teach the word of God, preach the word of God. But I've been sad the last few days. Holy Ghost, help me. I'm at a loss for words. Late Sunday evening, I don't know the gentleman's name, but I was rejoicing and, I knew that in this moment something was going to happen that never had happened in my generation, in my lifetime. And I was planning a trip to Atlanta. And this gentleman who I hope he makes it to heaven by the name of Tom Brady. He threw an interception. And I love Jesus, but y'all, I promise I had like a little sinner left in me. Because I went to the game. And the way I was jumping and shouting, you'd have thought I'd been drinking Bud Light all afternoon. I mean, I'm high-fiving people. Let's go. We're going to Atlanta. And then the referee throws a flag. And for the last 3 days, I have been trying to find who the ref was. You know how you just see somebody and you want to just pray for him? I just wanted to pray for him. Hey, brother, come on. Let me talk to you real quick. Come on behind this dumpster so you and I can fellowship. But I got over it. I got over it, and I had to get my mind right for this word tonight. I'm ready to preach. Y'all ready for the word? Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. First Samuel. I promise you, we'll get out of here around 1 a.m. Is that okay? Stop lying. Y'all lying in church. I preach till 1 a.m. You never come back. No, we're going to have a good time tonight. My man, thank you. Yeah, you got to come back. First Sammy, when you're there, say, I'm there. If you need some more time, say, hold on. You hold, okay. Everybody got your iPad, iPhone? Anybody have a real Bible? Amen. So you're going to heaven first, everybody else. You might, God might rapture you with a text message, and if you got crooked, you might not get it. So I went over some people here. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We got to move. We got a lot to cover. Pastor Block, I want to shout you out and your family just for trusting me with this sacred platform. There's been some great men and women of God who have donned this pulpit, and I'm just honored to be in one of the numbers, and I thank you. You're my brother for life, you and your family. I got a sister-in-law because my brother Weed, and we played in high school together, as I told y'all last time. So I'm just grateful for this opportunity. When you're there, say, I'm there. Now we're going to read. I'm going to read and you're going to listen, okay? I'm going to read verse 1 through 13. Now pay close attention to everything that's said tonight. Every scripture that is read, every point that is given, because it's all going to make sense at one point of time throughout this sermon. But you have to be, you have to pay attention. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. All right, come on. Okay, they didn't look like they want to talk to you. Look at the other neighbor, say, neighbor. I need you to pay attention tonight. Yeesh. I'm ready to go. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Ooh. He said, for I have provided myself. Somebody say myself. I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. Have you ever been in a position where the words of regular people outweigh the words of God Almighty? God says, go. He becomes fearful, not from the voice of the Lord, but from the repercussion of doing something that God had already predestined to happen. God said, go. Somebody shall go. How can I go? Saul said. If he hears that I am there, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 3. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one that I name to you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. I'm the one. Verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peacefully? Verse 5. And he said, peacefully, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Oh my God, let me read that again. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Verse number 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at the physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward, but the Lord looks at the heart. Can somebody say amen to that? I'll read that again. For man looks at the outward appearance, but my God in heaven, the Lord Almighty, looks at the heart. We're almost done. Verse 8. So Jesus called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And Samuel said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. Okay, let me park right here. Now Samuel has called Jesse and his sons to be sanctified. And all of his sons have passed before Samuel. And the Lord has rejected every son that has passed before him. Now, when Samuel came, he gave the instruction that he needed to see all of his sons. It's significant to point out that Jesse took upon himself, even with his own biological son, to leave him out. Can I preach to you tonight? God said to sanctify Jesse and his sons, and Samuel did so, not knowing that there was one that was not at the table. Ooh, I feel like preaching tonight. And Jesse says in verse number 10, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these guys. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. Somebody say David was sexy. I can't sing that song. David was out there in the field and he walked in. David wasn't no raggedy dude. Why y'all think he had a problem with women? David was good. You know you look good when you come in dirty and you still fine. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Like, he's been working with the sheep. He's stinky. He's dirty. And he walks in, and even Samuel, who is not battling with any kind of demons, is like, ooh. Brother look good. Come on, where my fellas at? You ever seen a guy that you know, you're like, okay, that's a good looking dude right there. Like, come on, baby, we're going home. All right? We don't need it. Verse number 12. So he sent and brought him in. Oh, my God. He was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, for the next 20, 30 minutes, I just want to talk from the subject handpicked. Handpicked. This is a revival, ladies and gentlemen, right? So that means I'm obligated to say some things that might make you uncomfortable, but I don't want to make you uncomfortable in a negative way. I want to awaken you that some of us are in this room and we feel like we have been overlooked. Anybody ever felt like you're being overlooked or somebody else is being promoted high? Anybody ever had that feeling before? You feel like, God, I'm coming to church on Wednesday, I'm coming on Sunday, I'm serving, and I feel like everybody's progressing but me. But I'm here to alarm you and awaken you today that you've been handpicked. My God in heaven. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been handpicked. Can I just drop a bomb from the beginning? Y'all mind if I do that? This is the significance of being handpicked. How many of y'all know our God is a big God? Can give me the church amen real quick. So just say amen. All right. Our God is a big God. There's one song that says, the vapors of his breath created planets. And you look in Genesis 1, Pastor, you'll see, and God said, how many of you know God's words are powerful? If he says it, then some way, somehow, the world and the atmosphere, the universe has to figure out a way to make what he said come to pass. Somebody say, I'm handpicked. Oh, my God. I'm going to drop a bomb before you because I know we might not even get through all of these points. I feel the Holy Spirit in here already, right? So God is a big God, and he sent his words, and when his words left his mouth, something had to happen because his words will never return to him void. He didn't say, let there be light, and then came back and said, no, I can't do that today, God. When he said, let there be light, some way, somehow, the earth had to figure it out. Somebody say, I've been handpicked. There's millions of galaxies. There's millions of planets and stars. And all of these things have come as a result of God opening his mouth. Ooh, somebody say, I've been handpicked, though. Out of everything that is in the earth, out of everything that is in the galaxy, in the atmosphere, in the stratosphere, in millions and millions and hundreds of millions of miles away, there's only one species that God decided to put his hands on. Oh, y'all missed that. Everything that has manifested in this world has come as a result of God's word. Us as human beings are the only species that God said, listen, I'm going to come down from heaven because I have to handpick this people. Oh, my God. I have to put my hands on these people because I'm going to create them in my image. I can't speak and say, be man, come forth. No, I have to come down from my throne. That's why you have to remove yourself from allowing people to say negative things that want to keep you down. Why? Because I've been handpicked. God chose me. He came down from heaven. He came down to earth. He put his hands in the ground and said, man, I need you to get up. But I'm not just going to speak it. I'm going to place my hands in the ground. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to form you in my image. And if you're in my image, somebody shout, you got to win. Eesh. Y'all better be ready for you, boy. I'm ready to go. Oh, my God. Now, I want to talk and preach about four reasons that you have this, four reasons to believe that God is wanting to do and still wanting to do great things in and through your life. I know it's cliche. I've been in church my whole life, Pastor Block. Touch your neighbor and say, you know, tomorrow, and stand up and do a 360 flip, and pixie dust is gonna come from there. I just heard it all. And you continuously hear these things, and at some point you believe it. But then when it's not manifesting the way you want it to manifest, if it's not coming as quick as you believe it should come, then sometimes you say, well, maybe it's for somebody else. Oh, my God. Like the idea that God has placed on the inside of you, that vision that God has given you, that people don't understand. And you're saying, God, I've been faithful. I've been consecrated. I've been obedient. I've been a good steward. And it seems like everybody else is being promoted but me. Ooh. These are four reasons why you have to realize that what God has spoken to you isn't, he's not through with you yet. Number one, we have to dissect this story of David and realize that number one, David was the youngest one. Somebody shout, age ain't nothing but a number. David was the youngest one. And we can get into theology and break it down on why the significance of the older sons being presented and David being out left in the field. Don't have the time to break it down like that. But we can just speak in natural, you know, where everybody can understand. David was the youngest. So Jesse assumed that his older sons would be more qualified to be king. And it also opens up our minds to realize that you have to treat everybody right. Yeesh. Because the people that you deem insignificant, God has handpicked them as well. I'm ready to revive this place right now. Not that it's needed, that it's dead, but there's a harvest that's coming, Pastor Block. And
And the acceleration, the word our bishop has given us for 2019, the acceleration that's going to happen, there has to be an environment where everybody is treated right. I'm not talking about race. I'm not talking about gender. I'm just saying in general. My saying to my students at Harvest is that person that you deem insignificant, that's God's child. Any parents in here? Any parents? Okay, we're going to be honest tonight. Any parents with, you know, you had some children, he already raised his hand. You had some children that, you know, they made you pray a little harder. Okay, kids, keep looking at me. Just keep your head straight. Don't tell on yourself. She still got her hand up like, man, I'm still waiting on the Lord to come through for me. There's some kids. I got my older brother here. He got more whoopings than me. Am I telling the truth? Just say amen. Okay, he did. I ain't lying. I prided myself for staying out of trouble. He was older than me, so I looked at his examples of what he got in trouble with. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be grounded for a week? No, sir. I'll be right in class. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. I take my homework. But the thing I'm learning about being a parent, ladies and gentlemen, no matter if your child is good, no matter if your child has been a challenge, it still doesn't neglect the fact that they're your child. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And the way that you treat your child, nobody else has permission to treat your child that way but you. Okay, I got some faking parents over here. Let me talk to y'all. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, your child is acting up. Johnny, I promise you, if you don't stop, you got to let them know. My mom had eyes of steel. I knew the fashion of the whooping I was going to get predicated on how she looked at me. But in any time that we got in trouble, even if we were right or we were wrong, our mother came to our defense. My father came to my defense. Why? That's my child. God views his people the same way. When you choose to treat people wrong based upon color, based upon nationality, based upon status, based upon whatever way you choose to treat somebody wrong, God says, you're treating my child wrong. And there's some mamas in here right now. Your child might have been cutting up on the way here. Let somebody else slap your child and you act a fool in here. You ever seen The Exorcist? Just we got to have a deliverance service right after the service. Get them devils out of you after you beat that person up. But David was the youngest one, ladies and gentlemen. He was the baby boy. He was the shepherd, the sheep herder. He was the one tending to the flock. His responsibilities was just to be faithful outside with sheep. My God. That's a prerequisite for being a king. Oh, y'all missed that this evening. You have to have the ability to take care of the sheep. King David wasn't just a king. He was also, in a sense, he was a pastor. Oh, I'm preaching real good this evening. Verse number 11, it says, And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? And for neither of these being the person God would have anointed king, and yet it was one of Jesse's sons that was to be anointed. He concluded that he must have more. God gave him a word. And when he spoke, he said, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. And he had to challenge Jesse because Samuel said, God has sent me here to anoint a king. And I don't have confirmation on anybody that's here. So that means that we're missing something. That's why God doesn't like people who love church where it's just us four no more. Pastor Block, there's people, I'm a pastor's kid. And I feel sometimes it's funny, I'm like, man, you know, God, everybody's crying, Lord, you saved my life. And I'm like, man, I'm on this kick now for evangelism. And if God is so good, how come nobody knows about it? Because I'm realizing that there's people who enjoy keeping things small. And the thing that blows me away, Pastor Block, is that when they get to heaven, I wonder how they're going to feel. Can somebody say amen to that? I wonder what the environment is going to be like. Where it's millions and billions of people singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord. And I wonder how people are going to feel. That's why as we look at David being anointed, that's why it makes it so significant of him being young. Because God has showed that even though these boys that have come before him look better, they talk better, they act better, I'm going to use the one that you deem unqualified. And I prophesy to ES First tonight that there's a lot of churches in the Excelsior Springs. There's a lot of churches in Kansas City. But God says, I know those churches might be doing more. They might be bigger, but I'm handpicking them. Somebody say amen to that. Only people that are going to say amen to that are people that are okay with growth. Eesh, I tell ya. I'm going to keep moving so I don't get in trouble. Number two. Number one was David was the youngest one. Number two, David was the serving one. You ever seen somebody at work that want to get promoted but don't do no work? Have you ever seen somebody who don't do any work get mad at the person who got promoted for doing work? Who do they think they are? They're getting promoted again? Yeah, dummy, because you need to do some work so you can get promoted. I believe that in this season, God is only going to promote serving churches. Not personality churches. Oh, my God. I say it again. In this season, God is going to promote serving churches, not personality churches. What I mean by personality churches is no disrespect, but your favorite, you know, podcast preacher and your favorite TBN preacher, I'm not knocking them. But God is looking for a remnant of people who are going to be more concerned about what's happening off the stage than on the stage. David was the serving one. The brothers had come and they were ready to get consecrated and they had on their nice garments and they were fresh shaven. They were clean. They were looking good. But David, lonely David, was out there with the sheep who were stinking and was protecting them from lions and protecting them from bears and doing what he needed to do, not worrying about being anointed. And all the while he's out there with the sheep, God says, because you're serving, I'm going to promote you to king. Somebody say serving one. Verse 11, he said, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Now, I'd have been mad at my dad for playing me like that. Like if I would have read that story of myself in the Bible, I'm like, Pops, why you do me like this? Because Samuel said there has to be another son. And instead of saying, oh, I forgot. Parents, have you ever forgotten your children somewhere? He's laughing because they done left him in the car. I remember one time we were living in Blue Springs and my parents had went into, I don't know, what was it, Hobby? No, it was like one of those shopping malls, the outdoor malls. Not a mall, but a strip mall kind of thing. And man, I guess I had worked late. I was about 6. So I was tired. So my parents, being great parents, was like, just leave him in the car. He's sleepy. My God. Because I was a spiritual child, my parents were preachers. You know, I had knew about the rapture. So I woke up and I knew I had missed it. I'm like 7, 8 years old, like, Lord, what did I do? I didn't mean to steal her milk. I didn't mean to take the cookies. I'm panicking, y'all. I'm tripping. Somebody say he was tripping. I mean, I'm like, Lord Jesus. I'm in the car. I hadn't even been filled with the Holy Spirit yet, and I started speaking in tongues. I'm like, oh, God, what's going on? Right? So I get out of the car. I get out of the car, y'all. I walk into the little area, into one of the little stores, and I don't know where my mom and dad, I don't know who they are. And so it's funny how you can do something with the right intent and it still cause you pain. Because this lovely lady decided to help me out by getting over the intercom.
We have a little Negro child here, about 5'2", and we're looking for Steve help. You lost your son.
It should have happened. And I'm seeing my father come. And I'm like, you know that did the slow motion. Dun, 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 dun. My father was so mad. My father was so mad. What's your point? What's your point you're trying to make? Is how David's father treated him in the midst of being asked, was there another son? He didn't say, oh, I forgot him. Oh, I left him in the car. He presented it in a way like, I mean, I got another son, but he's just a sheep boy. He's just tending the sheep, no big deal. Jesse said, okay, I need to see him. Jesse sent forth servants to go fetch David in that moment. Can somebody say amen? I'm almost done, y'all. I'm not going to hold y'all all night, I promise. Verse number 11, it says, and Jesse said, send, fetch him. Verse number 11 as well, for we will sit down. We will not sit down. We will not sit down until he come hither. We will not sit down until he comes hither. Point number three, David was the unconsecrated one. Ooh, I'm going to break that down for you real quick. Number one. David was the what? David was the youngest one. Number two, David was the serving one. Number three, David was the unconsecrated one. If you remember, as I kept reiterating in the scripture, I kept saying over and over and over again, when Jesse came with his sons and Samuel took a hold of them, they all consecrated themselves. They anointed themselves. They got themselves ready and prepared to be anointed for the kingdom. And the only one who had not been consecrated was David. Oh, my God. It says in verse 5, it says, sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And Samuel wanted them to prepare themselves for what was about to happen. So what they did was they washed their garments and they attended the ceremony with Samuel. And they assisted him with the sacrifice. And it also says in verse number 5, and he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. He ordered them to sanctify themselves. He distinguished them from the rest of everyone that was there and invited them to partake in a big feast. The remainder of the peace offerings he conducted himself. And the thing that I want to highlight on this third point is David missed the party. David missed the party. Anybody ever missed a party before? Has anybody ever overslept something that was really important that you swore you wouldn't miss? Woo, man, I'm thinking about David. And as I highlight this part of the text, it causes me to reflect on my own journey. That people are shocked and surprised at the people God chooses to use. They're shocked and surprised. who God chooses to use. And the significance of this, David being the unconsecrated one, is originally, man, I'm trying to break this down without being too deep. Samuel came to consecrate the sons, to consecrate Jesse in preparation for who was going to be anointed king, right? David missed the party. David did not get an invite to the party, so he missed the consecration. And even in the midst of that, the significant part is when Samuel found out that Jesse had another son, it's very important that you don't miss that. The Bible says he arose and demanded that someone go get David. Why? Why is that significant? Because in this season of acceleration, God has no time for you to debate back and forth on who you're supposed to get or who you're not supposed to get. He rose and said, nah, I don't want to hear nothing else. You got another son? Go get him. Because once you go get him, I can do what I've been called to do, and I can solidify himself, that young man, as the new king. God took someone who missed out on the ceremony and elevated them to the beginning of the ceremony. What I'm trying to say tonight, ES First, is I don't know how long this church has been here. There's some churches that have been here longer. There have some churches that have been here, you know, in 6 months to a year. But God says in this moment, in this season, with this revival, God said, I'm going to elevate you from the beginning, from the end to the beginning. Somebody shout, I'll receive that. No, this is not a shout message. No, this is not going to have you hanging from the chandeliers. But I have to reiterate that this church has been handpicked for such a time as this. That everybody else wants to stand before God and say and show how qualified they are to be king. But God says, no, there's another group that's not trying to do everything everybody else is trying to do. They're trying to serve the community. They're trying to be faithful. They're trying to be good stewards. God says, I'm going to handpick them. Can somebody say amen to that? Last point, number four. David was the anointed one. David was the anointed one. Now I have to park here, and I have to talk about it for these last moments that I have, because we can't overlook that. Because there's some people in here. You are David. Isha. God says you are the anointed one, and some of you know it. Some of you are trying to forget it. Because you're sick and tired of working in the fields with the sheep. And God says, if you'll stay faithful, then I'll elevate you quicker than you ever could have imagined. Somebody shout, I'm the anointed one. In verse number 12, it says, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he that he had spoken to him of, and who it was his pleasure should he be anointed king. And therefore, by a secret strong impulse upon his mind, was put upon doing it immediately without hesitation or delay. Verse number 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil out of his pocket, which he had brought along with him by the direction of God. Another point in verse number 13, it says, and Samuel anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Now, theologians go back and forth on, was David anointed in front of his brothers or not? And I don't want to get into a debate about that. But in my own theology, in my study, being anointed in the midst of his brothers is equivalent to Pastor Block and I going on the other side of this wall and him anointing me for a specific purpose and you all still being in this room. So no, God did not do it in front of his brothers. Why would God not anoint him in front of his brothers? I can't hear you. Somebody said it. It causes problems. Causes problems. Anybody ever had somebody hating on you and you didn't know it? How many of y'all ever had somebody hating on you and you knew it? This is the significance of still walking in purpose even though you have people that are going to talk about you and don't want you to be successful. My dad taught me a valuable lesson. He said the significance of knowing somebody is your enemy. How can I say it? You remember what dad said? He said the significance of having an enemy is you knowing that they're your enemy, but them not knowing that you know that they're your enemy. Because as Christians, once we elevate and something happens, we want to tell the whole world and we want to brag and we want to do this and we want to do that. But that causes division. That brings enemies that you don't need. But I come to serve notice to you tonight, ES First, that God is going to flip the switch. Somebody say flip the switch. In the Old Testament, God was concerned about feelings. In this New Testament that we live in, he's not concerned about other people's feelings. Because it's feelings that's keeping church small. God says, I want to shake up this generation. I want to shake up every young person in here. I don't care how old. I don't care how young you are. I want to shake you up because I'm going to promote you and elevate you in front of people. And you have to have the strength because they're going to have stones ready to throw at you when you're elevated. Somebody say, I'm the one. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Came from the fields. He's standing before Samuel. That's like working at a just a normal job. And you come in and they say, man, you just what's that? Man, I always said, God, if you would bless me with this, I would tithe and I wouldn't lead a church. What is it? The clearinghouse, publisher's clearinghouse. Anybody ever had that prayer before? See, y'all fake, okay. Like, Lord, if they knock on my door, I'm going to give you 10% and I'm going to move to Bermuda. Can I get an amen from two people? So God promoted him in a moment's notice. He went from a sheep herder to the king. I want you to catch this. That's how quick God can change your situation around in an instant. And the reason why breakthrough hasn't hit your household is because God is looking for you for promotion, but you're nowhere to be found. God says you must be in the right position at the right time and in the right place, because when I send forth someone to come get you for elevation, you got to be present in order to get the promotion. There's so many people, oh my God, there's so many people that want to raffle at church. Oh, yo, y'all like, what are you talking about? You ever seen a raffle where they say you give a certain amount of money and the prize is $2,000 or $3,000? Somebody say, but. But in order to collect the earnings, you got to be there. So people want to tithe without the community. I'm going to say that again. People will tithe the church, but they won't bring community to the church because they're so focused on being alone and building their own kingdom. Somebody say promotion. Somebody say promotion. In this season, my assignment tonight was to alarm and alert everybody that's in this building today. You could have been anywhere. You could have stayed home. You could have tried to get the podcast, whatever the case is. But God says, because you decided to be in the right place at the right time, God says, there's an anointing that I have that's ready, especially for you to promote you. And it's going to change your life because you were faithful and you were diligent in being here tonight. Somebody shout, I'm David. I'm sick and tired of people overlooking me. I'm sick and tired of feeling insignificant. I'm tired of looking like what I've been through. Jesus. I'm tired of praying and crying and praying and crying and praying and crying for God to bring increase, and I'm still not seeing what I cried and I prayed for. God says, tonight is the same night equivalent to when David was called out of the field to become king. Hey, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Be shocked, you got me? I need your help. Stand to your feet. Shataba. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I got more, but I'm Holy Ghost is saying do something else. Ikaraba. Somebody shout, I'm the one. Okay, I didn't say just say it. I said shout, I'm the one. I want you to shout, you're the one, like you're expecting God to really do something tonight that's going to change your life. Say, I'm the one.
I'm the one.
Ishata. You shouting you're the one puts you in the position to live up to your church's name. God. God says, I've called you to be ES first, not ES second. Jesus. Shout, I'm the one. The last shall be first. And the first shall be last. God says, in this season, I'm calling you from the back to the front. I'm calling you from out of your rags to my riches. I'm calling you from being small to being as mega as you want to be. Because you've been faithful this long, God says, my promotion is not good. It's not a 9-month sabbatical. It's not a 9-month suspension. It's not a 9-month program. You got to wait to see if you mess up. God said, you've been faithful so long, I'm bypassing all 7 of these other people to promote you to front. Shout, I'm the one. My marriage is one. My children are the one. My finances are the one. My ministry is the one. Everything that's concerned to me, I am going, God says, I'm about to make it one.